Christian Joe Corner always make out to that?
Well, it's more that we slow dance.
That's
not really
make out.
Everything's above the waist, Dennis.
You have to do it that way.
Jumping Joey Corner, son of the great man Frank Corner. Frank was brutally killed by members of the FALN terrorist organization who were granted clemency. I believe there's one, I hope the one guy's still in there, by Eric Holder in the Clinton administration. Joey, how are you?
Very good, Dennis. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
The one guy, you always show up. You're like, you do the right thing by your dad's memory. He's still in, right?
Yeah, he's still in as far as we know, unless there's been a jailbreak or Holder got his hands on him.
Or a presidential fiat or something.
Don't be surprised if that'll come. He'll get the unprecedented second pardon or second clemency with the same crime. We'll see that happen.
Well, you know, everybody, and I think the world of Krauthammer, Charles Krauthammer is one of the smartest guys I know, but he said if Eric Holder brings civil rights charges against Zimmerman, he'll have to deal with a whole lot of shame. And I thought, how do you shame a man who's done this for the FALN and the Mark Rich thing? I think he's unshameable.
I agree.
I said, I got to talk to Joe about this because I think Joe understands the complete lack of shame.
Well, in the Federalist Papers, Alexander Hamilton was debating about the unquestioned power of the pardon, and he said no president would abuse it lest he be thought conniving. So I don't think Holder can get much worse than conniving. So, yeah, I don't think shame is in his vocabulary.
But see, that conniving-ization, to invent a word, is what holds him. That's his gravity field. That's why he'll have that job. I swear to God, I think if Hillary Clinton wants it, he'll be it under her, too.
I agree. Why get rid of him? He's the henchman that they all are looking for.
Let's talk about the trial itself. Sure. And did you follow it? I always talk to you about your father's sad story and your indefatigable defense of him and his memory. But I'm just wondering if you have a take as a citizen on the Zimmerman trial.
Yeah, you know, I followed it to an extent. And, I thought that justice was served. I didn't follow it to the extent that some people do who are fanatical about it. I keep to my life and my family and my job. But I thought justice was served in this case. And, the jurors seemed to do a thorough job. The law was the law. And it sounded like, like it or not, he did what he didn't break the law. So.
Yeah, as I'm reading about it on the back end, and I don't follow it because I find the discourse so disheartening in this culture right now. But as I read about it on the back end, people always say, is there justice for Trayvon? It would appear to me that, and I assume the six women on the jury studied much more than I did, but it would appear to me that without a grand jury indictment, justice was done for Trayvon Martin by bringing this man to trial. Isn't that all you can do and then abide by the decision of the six people who study it the hardest?
Well, that's what it seemed like they wanted at first, at least bring him to trial. But they say you give a mouse a cookie and he's going to want a glass of milk. So, I mean, you can't continue to to placate people and they want even more and more, and it sounds like that's what happened in this case.
Yeah, well, listen, if you give a mouse Rufinol, they want sex. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't know where that came from.
Right there, that's where that came from.
Let's send it back to hell. 866-509-RANT, our phone number. Joe Corner is with us. You know, it was saddening to me yesterday when I was watching Holder talk about the conversations with his father. Mm-hmm. I think, my God, what sort of blind spot does he have that somebody's father was your father?
Yeah.
And how does he fight for the FALN pardons? How does he expedite those? And, you know, if he's in these heartfelt father stories.
Well, that's what it occurred to me. Like I said, I wasn't paying all that much attention to the trial because, I think it was one crime out of literally millions that happened. And it seemed to be created by the media for the benefit of the media and for the race baiters. So I decided to kind of sit this one out. But then when I saw Holder go there and start talking about his father, and when he started talking about bringing civil rights charges, it occurred to me that, the people that killed my father were Puerto Rican terrorists. They walked into Francis Tavern that bright January afternoon, looked around, saw a bunch of white guys. It was downtown. It was in the financial district.
They profiled.
They knew exactly the demographic of who they were going to kill. The bomber presumably looked in the face set the bomb down, walked out, killed four people, wounded 80. And they knew exactly what they were doing. And, you know, I look at Holder, piously speaking about race and about how, you know, they could possibly bring charges with you know, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson in tow. And it occurs to me, well, you know what, my father was racially profiled and he was killed. In their note, you know, the FALN left a communique. It's something out of a movie, but it said, this is reactionary corporate executives, which, you know, if they like to use code words, right? Well, that to me is a code word for a bunch of white guys.
Yes.
And you know, I don't hear anything from
from where's
Holder
the hate crime accusation there? I mean, guys judge solely on the color of their skin. And does it get more hateful than a working man breaking bread at lunch to provide for his family, and he gets blown up by some morons, and then Holder gets involved under Clinton, and their pardon's given out. It's absolutely crazy.
And then to hear him talk piously about his father and stuff, and, you know, just it just doesn't make any sense to me. I testified at Holder's confirmation hearing, and show you how, you know, innocent I guess I am in some ways. I didn't even realize he was black. It never occurred to me. I never even thought about it. So, you know, everyone, we're getting blamed here for fighting things because of race and color. Well, I just saw a guy like Holder who released terrorists. He was playing Russian roulette with the American people by releasing unrepentant terrorists.
And you didn't know he was black?
No. Honestly, Dennis, I didn't think about it. And even when I sat in the room with him when he was testifying, I never even thought about it. I guess I was so focused on what I was going to say, it never occurred to me. And I, you know, maybe I'm dumb, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm kind of past that, and I wish
post-racial
that these guys could get
means
past
you're obsessed with it every second of the day. Not that you don't notice it. You've misappropriated the
term. Oh, right. Yeah,
post-racial means every single nanosecond of the day is shot through the prism of race.
Yeah, I don't know how you people live like that.
Yeah, it's all a black and white thing with them. They see everything, no shades of... You know, the only time they see shades of gray is when you're talking about the primal battle between good versus evil. You know, then it all gets a little gray.
Then everything's gray and there's no good and there's no bad.
Right.
And,
what did the people in the Francis Tavern do on a subliminal message to send? What? How did they ostracize the poor FALN terrorists that they felt driven to where they get all murky with it.
That's exactly right. And, you know, my father was born in New York. He went to City College where some of the FALN went to college. He would have had no problems with Puerto Rico becoming an independent state, but they kill him for it. And at City College now, I don't know if you guys knew this, but they have a student center named for Joanne Chesimard and William Morales. Chesimard was a cop killer, and Morales was the chief bomb maker for the FALN, who probably built the bomb that killed my dad. So, you know, this is what we're getting in this country. We've fallen
through the wormhole. That's all I can tell you. It makes Alice in Wonderland read like a Hemingway tract or something. Well, it's absolutely crazy.
It's prophetic. You know, the world is upside down. Good is bad, and bad is good. And that's the way it seems like half this country wants it.
You look at this kid on the cover of Rolling Stone. Did you see that?
Did you see that?
It's like a dreamy picture of him is the word I saw attached to it.
I saw that this morning, and it was stunning. They have a terrorist who hates this country.
Think
as
of that
a
little
8-year-old
boy who got blown
up. He was like I said, he was like the FALN. He walked in, he saw the 8-year-old boy on the street, put a bomb right next to him. And this guy is on the cover of the Rolling Stone. They should make a song about that, don't you think?
Oh my God. I'm telling you, Joe, I always love talking to you and folks. I don't want you know, Joe's a great guy and we have chats, but there's no way to not get down to cases with a man who has lost his father in a bombing, and then you see the current DOJ guy, the same guy who won't bring charges against the new Black Panthers, the same guy who's down there talking against the Stand Your Ground. Imagine, folks, that the world's gotten so crazy that we have something called a Stand Your Ground rule, where they're telling you that you don't have to retreat if your life's being threatened.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, right,
you think we're overthinking these things, for God's sake?
That we even need that kind of law. You know, I've written some of this stuff. If you want to check out a website, I have wewinamerica.com and thenewfounders.net are a couple of websites in the book. So, you know, I write about this stuff and about my dad and, you know, try to tribute that. And, you know, Dennis, thank you for having me on. But, you know, this stuff is exhausting. And I'm hoping one day we can be in a post-Holder, post-Obama country where we can cut on and talk about good things and
how
we're moving this country along.
There's all that. There's breaking bread. And then there's your old man. And I can't tell you how much I admire you, Joe.
Well, thanks, Dennis. We miss him every day.
Yeah.
And this is for him, man.
All right. So if on the last day of your 105, there's a chance to step up to a podium and remind the world what happened to your old man, you do it, right?
Well, I'm gonna do. You know, it's 37 god years now, and sometimes I feel like, you know, people must wonder, you know, is he ever gonna get over it? And the answer is no. We live our lives. I have a wife and my own family. My son's named Frank, like my dad. But you know, we would go quietly and live our lives. But my dad's name has been sullied over and over again by these people.
Crazy to think you get over that.
No, you don't.
Can you imagine the nanosecond? See, I believe in the afterlife, and I think your old man's looking down at you.
Oh, he is.
And I think he's so proud. He's, you know, when you feel rain, brother, it's his tears weeping about how proud he is of his boy. And the moment, can you imagine the moment where you don't answer the call? Can you imagine the look on his face?
Well, and that ain't never gonna happen, Dennis. You know, that's why I'll be here every time, and I'll bring up the fight every time.
Good for you.
It's
you're
just
a good
the right
son.
Thing to do. Yeah, I think so. I got a good son at home too, and a good daughter. So I'm learning from my own kids.
All right, you're a mensch, baby. You got to heal the wound that you've suffered on the back end of it with your own cubs. So good
you
for
it.
You, Joey. Joe's book, The New Founders. Go to newfounders.net. He is in a world where it doesn't really seem to be the coin of the realm anymore. An honorable man. Good
thanks,
for
guys.
You, Joe.
Take care, man.
Later, Gator. Back after this, your phone calls. Dennis Miller Show.
The Dennis Miller Show.